I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to see this word unpacked. I think it's such a powerful word and cannot wait to see what the Lord has been saying to Rose to be spoken to us. So let us pray for Rose just before she preaches. So Father, we thank you for Rose. We thank you for the vessel of honor that she is to you. Father, we thank you for that word which you have been speaking to her about in this passage. Thank you, Father, that you give her utterances. So as she unpacks this word for us, Father, we believe that it is you speaking through her, and we are coming with expectant hearts, expectant to hear that which you have in store for us as you equip us for service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was told last week they couldn't hear us online, so I'm going to try and stay really close to the mic today to make sure that they can hear us online. So Paul, or whoever is writing the Ephesians, is now drawing to the end of his letter to the churches. Finally, says NIV, a final word, says New Living Translation. And the message says, and that about wraps it up. So we move to the last portion of this letter. When we get to the end of a letter or an essay or a book, we often end with a summary or with something that's really important. So what is in this last section of Ephesians? Maybe something nice and comforting and reassuring. Well, sort of. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Or as the message puts it, God is strong and he wants you strong. That's what the writer is asking his readers to be from now on. Why do we need to be strong, to be empowered in the Lord? Why? Because we're told we are in a battle. We are in a war. We're all very aware of what war is like at the moment with Ukraine and Russia. We're aware of its effects. We're aware of the strategies, the bombings, the push to gain ground, the pain, the sufferings, the loss of life, the offensive attacking weapons of our day, the tanks, the ballistic missiles. We've heard Ukraine's cries to the West to supply them with defensive weapons so they can withstand the power of their Russian neighbour. They've asked for anti-tank missiles and anti-aircraft systems. We've also seen and been part of the prayer, 24/7 prayer around the world for peace. So how about in our battle, who can we turn to for help? Because believe me, we do have a strong enemy, and he has carefully thought out strategies and effective weapons. His unceasing aim is to bring the people of God down, to stop God's kingdom growing, to incapacitate us. Our battle is not, hear me please, is not against flesh and blood. It is not against other human beings. Indeed, surely that's one of the devil's schemes to bring us down, is to pit us against one another, to breed discord and jealousy and anger and frustration with each other, to put in our heads, oh, they don't like you. Oh, they don't approve of you. Oh, they're looking down on you. They think you're better than them, or they think they're better than you. Whichever way round, causing moaning and discord among us when others don't live up to our expectations. Praise God, only he is my judge, and he has found me wanting, but he has forgiven me and restored me. Satan loves to see us preoccupied with negative thoughts and words about each other rather than building each other up as God intends. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As the message puts it, you're up against far more than you can handle on your own. But we have the ultimate provider of weapons or armor. We have the complete armor of God, and we're encouraged to put it on so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. The Greek word is panoplia. It means every weapon. In the words of the message, take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. We've got everything we need to stand our ground, to stand firm, and after we've done everything, to stand. But we have to use it. We have the full resources the Lord gives so we can successfully wage spiritual warfare, not fighting for victory, but fighting from his victory. Our battle's already won by Christ. He's already triumphed over all that is evil, every evil, even death itself. Nonetheless, we have to fight in this war until the end of our time. The message says this is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. There isn't a day off in this war until we get to heaven. It's possible Ephesians was written in jail by Paul while guarded by a Roman soldier standing there in his full armour, hence the picture of the Roman armour used here. So what do we have in our complete armoury that God has given us? We have the belt of truth. It girds round our loins in old-fashioned language. It holds up more than your trousers. On a Roman soldier, it holds the whole armour together, or it hoists up his tunic so that he can move fast when he needs to move. So what is our belt, our truth? What is truth? Maybe it means Jesus, who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe it means the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died and was raised to life for us. Maybe it means the truth of the word of God in scripture, which we can read, digest, learn, apply, and speak out to defend us when we're under attack, as Jesus himself did when he was being attacked by Satan in the wilderness and doubt sown in his mind. We can refute the enemy's lies and half-lies, those lies that say you're useless, unworthy, unwanted, not loved. How could God possibly love you after what you've done or not done? You'll never change. How Satan ties us up in knots if we listen to him. But let's not. Let's proclaim the word of truth. The Bible tells us God is for us. He didn't spare his own son. He gave him up for us all. How will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? Or God so loved the world, he gave his son. Whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. John 3:16. So we can hang on in faith to the amazing and never failing love of God for us. That's the good news, the gospel. We can hang on to how much God values each one of us. That is our truths we hang on to, all of those we've just mentioned. Then we have the body armor, the breastplate of righteousness. This, as you can imagine, protects many of the vital organs in a soldier in battle. It's not a righteousness that we've earned through our own works. It's a righteousness we've received through Christ's death. All of us have sinned, we've done wrong, we fall short of the glory of God. We're viewed by God, though, through the death of his Son as perfect. And once we're made right with God, we can receive his Spirit, and that enables us to push on to actually live in righteousness, in right ways, in God's ways, being and doing all he's created us to be and do. Our next piece of armour, on our feet, we have the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We're ready to proclaim that message we received, always prepared, 1 Peter 3:15 says, to give an answer for the hope we have. And so we bring life and peace to others. Isaiah 52 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. The gospel of peace brings reconciliation. It reconciles God and people. It reconciles people and people. It reconciles people and the whole creation. So we have our feet ready with the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith. Roman shields were covered in a calf skin and dampened to help extinguish all the flaming arrows of their enemies. And we have the shield of faith, which extinguishes all the flaming arrows, those darts that the enemy sends against us. We have faith, faith in all Christ's done. Faith in the specific promises that God makes to each one of us, because he calls each of us and has unique purposes for each of us. Hebrews 11 gives a whole list of faith examples. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then it lists Noah and the ark. How amazing was that? Such faith. Abraham and Sarah, who past childbearing age by a long way, believed they'd have a son. Moses, who chose to identify with his poor people, the Israelites, in slavery, rather than staying as the princess's son. Rahab, who helps the spies who come for her from a foreign land, and yet she chooses to help them. There's a whole list, and there's individual purposes for each of us if we have faith in the promises that God's made to us and we hang on to those promises. When I think of Roman shields, I also think of some of these films where you see them standing in big groups and pushing their way forwards in a big line with all the shields up over their heads and in front of them. Sometimes our own faith flags. Let's then bind together and encourage one another's faith, because then we are strong. So don't give up. Let's pray that we can be there for one another when their faith flags. What a joy that is when someone else reignites our faith when we start to feel doubtful. And then there is the helmet of salvation. We've talked already about the lies the evil one says to us. The helmet of salvation protects us from those lies. We continue to believe we are saved. We can't be told by the enemy we're not good enough to believe belong to God's people, or that we can earn our own way into the kingdom. We trust in Jesus Christ and his salvation. It's so important what we believe, because what we believe shapes our lives. So let's cling on to the truths that we are God's people, saved, restored, forgiven. Finally, an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We use the Bible's teaching and verses in defense and in offense. We can use it to demolish the strongholds of the enemy in our lives and the lives of others. Some of you may have done the Freedom in Christ course, and much of that involves using God's word to reprogram our minds so we know God's truths about him and about us, and then we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We can use scripture to teach, to correct, to rebuke, to train in righteousness, says 2 Timothy 3:16. So that is the armour. And then the passage has three more verses. And those verses are full of prayer. Five times the word pray or prayer or praying are mentioned. Prayer is fundamental to everything we do. Talking to God and listening to God. Praying in the Spirit. That might mean the gift of tongues, which we're miraculously given, which helps us worship and know what to say. Or it might just mean all of the prayer we do, which is listening to God and hearing what he's saying and praying as he leads us to pray. Those in contact with people on the ground in Ukraine at the moment tell of miraculous deliverances. This is an example of a prayer in a spirit. One vehicle, having brought a group out safely, went back in to get another group. God's voice told them which route to take. It was not the supposedly safe route that everyone else was suggesting, but this vehicle took the route that God said and got through safely. In the meantime, it turned out the other route had indeed been blocked. If we pray in the Spirit, then we know that our prayers are effective. And we are invited to pray all kinds of prayers. It might be silence, it might be waiting on God, it might be listening, it might be being inspired to action, it might be confession, it might be praise, it might be cries of help, it might be groans too deep for words. All kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests about anything and everything. God cares. And on all occasions, we may not always understand the answers given, but God always hears and always responds. We are encouraged to watch, to be alert, to be attentive. This is a battle. We need to be listening and ready and prepared and intentional in our prayers. We need to always persevere, always keep on. If we trust and know our God loves us, we won't stop asking him because we'll expect that he will answer us. We're told to pray for all the saints, all the believers, all God's people. In the Greek, the word is hagios, and it means the people that are different, other, set apart, the set apart ones. The people of God are set apart to be like God, to imitate him, to show his love, to be kind, forgiving, compassionate, honest, faithful, to reflect him. And that is not easy. So we need to be praying for one another that we can be those different people that reflect God. It's a challenge. Finally, if Christ has already won the victory for those who are in Christ, why do we need to stay here on earth? We could just go up to heaven and have a jolly time there, praising and worshipping him. Our own salvation's assured if we've given our lives to him. So surely the main reason for us staying here on earth is for us to be part of God's plans to bring others into his kingdom. So finally, the writer of the Ephesians says, pray for me. We need to pray for our leaders. This person has founded many churches probably and is caring for them, sending letters out. We need to pray for our leaders. Thank you, Andrew, for doing that publicly today. Because prayer is the powerhouse that brings our churches success. This godly leader, he's not asking for fame and glory. He's not asking for an easy life. He's asking to be able to proclaim the gospel of Christ fearlessly as he should. And that's probably in prison under guard that he's asking this. Let me continue to proclaim the word of God fearlessly, whatever the consequences. And that is something we might pray for all of us believers, all of God's people, that we might fearlessly proclaim the word of God. So let's put on the armor we've been provided for. Let's know that we have the victory in Christ. And let's continue with that armor on, proclaiming the word of God fearlessly to those we come across, those God puts in our path, so that we might see his kingdom grow.